If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As I said, happy Workers' Day to you, whatever that means to you. If you are a worker, maybe it means you're celebrating. Maybe you're not celebrating. So it's quite a complex conversation. We've asked SAFTU's spokesperson, Trevor Shaku, to join us in this conversation as we commemorate a first of the May Day, basically, in South Africa, 30th anniversary of democracy. What does that mean and look like for all of us? Thank you very much, Trevor Shaku, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thanks for having us.
As I was saying, you know, I don't know, when you think of the labor movement right now, 30 years into our democracy, as we celebrate May Day, your reflections overall?
Look, our inspection, or rather our assessment of the issues and the conditions of workers 30 years into liberal democracy is that indeed we have successfully been able to achieve the creation of a favorable legal and political framework for the workers. And that is reflected in the fact that you've got the Labor Relations Act that repealed the Industrial Conciliation Act of apartheid. Then you have the other series of legislations which were passed after the Labor Relations Act of 1995, which strengthened some of the provisions of the Labor Relations Act, but also allowed for address or rather redress of the historical injustices, such as the Employment Equity Act. Now, and we are able to belong to trade unions, we are able to organize strikes, which would be protected by law. Mm. And so if you look at the bulk of the legal and the political framework, we can really point to the concrete things. The problems begin when we look at the socioeconomic conditions of the working people. Mm. That's where you begin to see somewhat a stagnating, if not a reversal, of the living standards of our people.
You know, when there are days like this, often what you hear is, you know, collaboration, unity and so on. And we've been told by the Department of Labor, yourselves, you conducted a study last year where you were saying that, you know, the labor movement has lost workers, right? So people are not unionized anymore for various reasons. And I would like to hear your reflections. So the Labor Department was obviously looking at the global you know, labor movement as well as locally, talking about how the unions have really hampered progress and technology and so on. But as a union yourself, as a federation, how do you reflect on why people are no longer part of the unions in the numbers that we used to see?
Look, there are a number of factors that affect the trade union density in the work in the South African labor force. The first one is in relation, I would call it objective condition, that arise out of the development of the economy itself. Because if you look at the trajectory of the economy and how it developed, it led to the casualization and the precarianization of the working people. Mm. And such precarianization and casualization has actually meant that they are vulnerable and are often intimidated to join trade unions. Firstly, sometimes a voluntary type of an intimidation, but secondly, a serious intimidation that is direct and concrete from the bosses themselves. Because when you are in a casualized or temporary work and you join a trade union, and they don't, you know that your bosses are opposed to trade unions, what happens is that you will police yourself without even being told not to join a trade union. You would think that if I join a trade union, these people might not renew my contract. So these are this is the first factor that affects workers. And how do you trace this casualization? You trace this casualization and a host of other non-standard work in the country to the deindustrialization of the South African economy, which began in the 90s and came to a peak in the 2008-2009 financial crisis, where you had, for instance, 1.9 million of the people in the country working in the manufacturing sector. And after the global financial crisis, you had below 1 million people working. In fact, in 2023, in the fourth quarter of 2023, we still had not recovered all the jobs we lost in 2009 in the manufacturing sector, because even though we did have some little bit of recovery, we were able to recover we made up to 1.5 million. In fact, the economy showed that it had 1.5 million in the manufacturing sector. So this shows you that the low demand for employment as a result of this industrialization and the problems of the contradictions of the capitalist economy have led to this precarianization. The ILO report, the International Labour Organization's report in 2019 on non-standard work, said that South Africa, number of workers who could be categorized as non-standard workers is 36%. So this shows you one contributing objective factor as to why you have the low trading on density.
I want us to focus on exactly what you've just spoken about, the fact that so many people have gone unemployed. You speak of 2009, 2008, but obviously we also had COVID making things worse. And of course, the policies that you keep talking about as well, that is not a new conversation. I just wonder, though, what has happened to your efforts? Because I know that at some point, as SAFTU, you also put a lot of efforts in unemployed workers. And I know it's difficult to organize unemployed workers, but what then becomes the future of gaining that momentum, of bringing that workforce back in, if yourselves you tire along the way?
That's a key question, because indeed, if we are not able to bring these workers into the trade union fold, it means that we also, as trade union movement, we are weakened, and we will continue to be weakened. So, the initiatives we are taking, because in fact, what I also did not talk about is the subjective factor. The subjective factor that keeps workers out of trade union sometimes is because of the lack of quality senses from the trade union movement itself. So let me answer these solutions in relation to these sources that I've pointed to. One, I think that we can resolve this problem and bring workers into the trade union movement by firstly fighting against government policies and ensuring that we push towards reindustrialization. And as the South African Federation of Trade Unions, we made a submission to the president and the head of treasury, Ino Kodongwa, to say that it's a 12-pager type of an economic plan where we say initiate this particular measure, and through initiating them, we are going to reindustrialize it. We are going to assist in reindustrializing the economy. With it, we think that we are going to bring concrete secure jobs. And it is mostly workers in secure jobs, really, who do join trade unions. That's why a lot of the workers are coming from the mining industry, the steel engineering, manufacturing, which is still there, and also in the public service and the public sector. Those is because the security of China for these workers, so they're not intimidated by anybody. So if you are able to fight for the economy to grow, secondly, ensure that fast economic growth lead to reindustrialization, or rather is led through reindustrialization, and you are able to create those secure jobs, you're going to fight the problem. Secondly, you've got to just ensure that there is not one where you as a trade movement, after introspecting, there is nothing any further that could be categorized as the sellout from the trade movement, because some of the workers, having been poorly represented, having received poor quality services from the trade union and the trade union representatives have actually come to the conclusion that they are being sold out. So it would require education inside the trade union movement itself to ensure that we build quality organizers and quality shop stewards to represent the workers in the workplace.
I mean, Marikana stands out for me as one of those moments where the workers found themselves, I would say, alone, in a moment where, you know, they really needed a unified, strong leadership from the unions and of course gains at people's lives unfortunately at the risk of people's lives, and we know what happened there. I just want to ask you about, you know, Zolinzi Babavi has been very open for years now about what he felt and still feels about Jacob Zuma, who was somebody that back then he had supported, they had supported, right? And I wonder, just as a matter of reflection, whether you think the relationships that the unions has had in recent times with political parties, whether that is still something that you feel should be reviewed, maybe? Is it something that still works? And is it maybe perhaps not the reason why the progress has been so slow?
Can you repeat the question?
I was saying, you know, because Zolinzi Mabavi has lamented over many, many years about the mistakes of aligning with former President Jacob Zuma and what it cost the labor movement.
Right?
And I'm asking whether, when you reflect as a federation, you know, whether part of what makes the progress so slow is this very interesting relationship the unions usually have in aligning themselves with political parties.
Look, I think mainly, yes, there is, of course, a view with suspect. Maybe because of the experiences we have had when we were in COSATU in particular.
Yes.
Where you have a trade union federation that is married to a political party that is a ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the same political party is the one that is actually enacting all the wrong policies. I mean, we all lament fiscal austerity.
Mm.
Who implements it? It is the ruling party. We all lament privatization. Who implements it? It is the ruling party.
Mm.
We are all lamenting the corruption. Who is corrupt? It is the ruling party. We are all lamenting the incompetent management, appointment of managers, both in public service institutions and in state corporations. Who appoints them? It is the ruling party. Almost everything we complain about in the economy, in the public service, and generally in society, it is the ruling party. So the relationship that that COSATU has with the ANC is quite contradictory. In fact, in one document, we categorize it as a relationship of inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
It is a relationship that brings two entities that are diametrically opposed. So the suspicion comes naturally out of this, because if you install a party that is pro-capitalist and you are a trade union movement that rejects capitalism, that is a contradiction. And that is the reason why we are keeping far away from most of these political parties, because they are pro-capitalist. We can't support those organizations. But this does not mean we are apolitical. SAFTU is not apolitical. And the reason we are not apolitical is because we understand the power and the importance of the power of the state.
Mm.
The power of the state is held and or wielded by a good party, it could actually do good for society as a whole.
Mm.
Now, we have, as a result, then come to a conclusion that there's a need for a workers' party, and we have taken this decision in the first inaugural, in the special National Congress and the inaugural Central Committee. So on the basis of these things, we were able to even carry forward a process we call the Working Class Summit, through which we try to build a political movement mm-hmm. to resist the onslaught against workers. So if there was a party that says we are a socialist party, we are for workers, and we espouse the fully democratic control of the working people and communities of the means of production, we will support them. We will not hesitate.
I really appreciate your time. Obviously, I think a conversation we should have over a longer period of time. SAFTU spokesperson Trevor Shaku, thank you very much and happy May Day to you. Let me take a quick break. I'll be back after this.
Kaya Talk. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Well, thank you very much for staying with us. So, there have been some social media comms doing the rounds, some really, really disturbing, unauthorized by the IEC, saying things like, if you are 60 and above, don't worry, you'll be able to vote on the 27th and the 28th, not necessarily on the 29th. Well, to help us clarify all of that is Thabo Masemola, the Gauteng Provincial Electoral Officer, on the line with us. Thank you very much, Ntate Masemola, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to your listeners.
You've really gone out of your way to try and forge relationships with some big companies, Metas, Googles, and so on, just to try and deal with this misinformation, disinformation, but it continues to go out. What are we worried about at this point?
Well, we really don't have to be too worried because we have put measures in place. And referring to the message that has been in circulation, and I think we did clarify ourselves that there is no special dispensation that the Electoral Commission has made for those that are of the age of 60 with respect to the casting of special votes. The dispensation that is in place that is that you pre-apply for special vote. If, for instance, you want to be visited at your home by the officials of the Electoral Commission owing to you being physically infirm or disabled or pregnant, you need to cause an application. You can do that online. Through our internet portal, you can also visit the network of local IEC offices across the country. However, if you know that on election day, you will not be able to present yourself at the voting station, you still have that dispensation to apply for special votes, to cast your special vote at the voting station.
Okay. I want us to just talk about how those who, for whatever reason, would like the IEC to come to their homes to help them cast their votes, what the process thereof. Let's just maybe work through that so that we can get everybody to understand what the special votes are and who's eligible. As you are saying, there's a category of people and how you get to qualify for that. So for those who want you as the IEC to come home, what's the process?
The process is fairly simple. For instance, the dispensation to apply for special vote opened on the 15th of April, and it will close on the 3rd of May, which is this coming Friday.
Yes.
You should be a registered voter at the time when the voter's roll is certified. All that you need to do is to either online, go online, and apply for a home visit special vote before Friday. And those that qualify is somebody who is physically infirm, who cannot go to the voting station on election day, or somebody who is disabled, or somebody who is pregnant. So those are the three categories that qualifies for special vote home visit. And the determined dates for home visits in terms of the election timetable is the Monday the 27th and Tuesday the 28th of May.
Okay.
As you know, the election day is the
Wednesday.
29th of May.
All right. There is a form, though, when we actually get to send in that application. What's the process thereof? You said online. Otherwise, what's the another process that you can do?
You, as I've said, it's an online application, and we strongly encourage potential voters to use the online portal. Also, you can fill in a form that is available online and also available at our
offices.
Local offices. It's Appendix A1. It's a very simple one-page form, and our officials will be readily available to assist voters in completing that form, and then we capture that form.
Okay.
Also, I must indicate for a different category that has not spoken about. If, for instance, you know on election day that you will not be able to visit your voting station and present yourself in person.
Yes.
So you can also use this dispensation. You can either go online, as I've said, or visit the network of the IEC local offices,
or use the SMS number. The SMS number is only for those voters who wish to cast their vote at the voting station on the 27th or on the 28th of May. And the SMS number is 32249. And I can repeat the number, it's 32249. So for those voters who will not be able to present themselves at their voting station on the 29th of May, so they have those three modalities to utilize to apply for special votes. As I've said, we are literally left with 2 days.
Yep.
And this dispensation will close at 1700 hours on the 3rd of May, which is this coming Friday.
Okay. And just for practical reasons, you can send somebody to go to the IEC office on your behalf, because obviously, if you're someone who can't leave the home, you can do that. Get it signed, take it back. Someone else can submit that form for you on your behalf if you can't use the SMS or going online.
Absolutely. You can request someone to cause an application on your behalf. And this is a practice that is regulated. And as I've indicated, our officials are in place to assist in processing those applications. If I may provide these stats, panel for your listeners, to date, when I checked this morning, we nationally processed over 1 million special vote applications. For the province of Gauteng, we have processed about 231,000 special vote applications. And I think the special vote itself is gaining popularity each election, and we hope that these numbers are going to spike as we move closer to the deadline of the 3rd of May. And 2024.
Aurel, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for clarifying all of that. Tamos Masimola is a Gauteng Provincial Electoral Officer. I will continue to give you those details, especially that SMS line, as we go along. But let me take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to speak about the order, the national orders that were bestowed upon 32 recipients this past week by the President of the Republic.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.